The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, in today's message designed to inspire you, strengthen your faith, and empower every aspect of your life spiritually. This message is brought to you by Inside Missions International. Be blessed as you listen.
He said, God will give spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you will know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance as a Christian. I would like you to pray that Father give me understanding in tonight's meeting. Wisdom, understanding, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation be made manifest in this meeting tonight, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Aim at his word just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus yet done. That is a song I wanted to put on repeat for me. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I could be more humble. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. Father, bless our hearts. Transform our lives. Let your word come to us with us simplicity and clarity. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing dragging. Nothing lagging. In the name of Jesus. I want you to repeat that after me. That in my life, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing dragging, nothing lagging. One more time, a bit louder this time. Not in my life, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing dragging, nothing lagging. And while you're having your seat for the last time, say, in my life, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing dragging, nothing lagging. In Jesus' name. Please have your seat wonderfully in the presence of God. Glory to God. Look to your neighbor and say, today you'll be blessed. Oh. Sir, what is the name again? Ah, Uluwasami, it's so nice seeing you again. Welcome. Glory to God. Look to another neighbor and say, tonight you are going to be blessed. You see, this teaching I want to teach today, I understood it early in life and it helped me. I understood it early in life and it helped me. And I know it's going to do you the same. is going to help you too. I say it's going to help you too. Glory to God. How many of you remember the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Abby, you know that prayer now? All right, let's quote it together. 2, 3, go. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Wait. Please, can we reduce the movement we are moving around? You are distracting me, oh Lord. All right, let's come again. 2, 3, go. Our Father, from our Father. Yes. You can be a bit louder now. We are now. Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. Okay. Perfect. You see, that thing you just recite now, I'm very sure some of you recite it offhand. You are not conscious of what you are saying. There's a part in that thing we said that used to give me concern. And thank God, today I was able to get that concern. It's because it was Jesus that was teaching the disciples to pray. They came to him and said, teach us to pray. So he was teaching them. But for this Matthew chapter 6, in fact, it's this Matthew 6, 13. Matthew 6, 13. Before this Matthew 6, this is where my concern is. Is this word, and lead us not into temptation. Yeah, this word, this one, it has given me concern for years. That, Jesus, why are you asking us to pray? You are teaching us the Lord's Prayer. And in all, what you can tell us is that we should tell God, he should not lead you into temptation. But you were led in Matthew 4. The Bible said, Jesus, look at Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 1. He said, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When you are not teaching us prayer, you now say that we should pray, that we should not be led into temptation. How many of us like exam? Exam, you like writing exam? I am not part of you people. Because one that was saying the other time that she like writing exam. Maybe she and my wife, they are friends. Or they are in the same category. I don't know. Me, I don't like writing exam. I like reading, but I don't like writing exam. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm afraid of exam. You know, they are not the same. Yeah, I'm not afraid of exam. But me, I don't like writing exam. But I have to write exam. We're on the same page. So Jesus is telling us that anytime we are praying, we should pray to God that he should not lead us. As far as leading is concerned, as far as temptation is concerned, we should not be led to temptation. But in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness. Was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I think somebody that is led into temptation, he can advise you. He can teach you the kind of prayers you should pray. But most times, we don't get the context of what that Bible is saying. Why? Because we don't. And in study, if you just read this now, you will have invalidated what Jesus prayed. You will have thought what Jesus prayed was the same thing as what happened to Jesus in this one. Yes, because they are using the same English, past tense, present tense. Is you like it? This, what is the past tense of? What is the present? So lead us not into temptation that Jesus used here. I am sure it's not the same as Jesus being led. If not, Jesus will have been selfish. Don't worry now. All of us will get it. You see, the essence of temptation in a believer's life, a believer will not be complete if he doesn't have temptation. But our joy lies solely in the fact that the tempter cannot tempt us beyond what he is permitted. The devil cannot tempt any believer beyond what is permitted. We saw that in Corinthians. I think that should be 1 Corinthians 10, 13 or thereabouts, if I'm not incorrect. The Bible says that there is God. He said, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So here, the Bible is telling us that there is no temptation that sees me. That means that for as far as you are alive, as far as you are a believer, please help me bring fun. Because I think this AC is working. So help me bring the fan in the lounge. All right, glory to God. So as far as you are concerned as a believer, you should expect to be tempted. But carry me back to that Matthew. Don't worry. Our topic is what? Don't what? Don't blame God. Now, as far as you are concerned as a believer, you will be tempted. But in that Matthew, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I said, I did not understand this scripture until maybe today perfectly, but this scripture has been in my heart for years. The question has been in my heart for years, or let me say for months, that why is Jesus, no, maybe for years, because I've always read that scripture. Anytime I get there, I don't need to understand. Maybe because I have a foreknowledge that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. So why is he not advising us? Instead of him to say that, make sure that when you are going to temptation, you pray to God to lead you. He is not saying that, no. One of the prayer you must keep praying is that don't lead us into temptation. But when I check up that word lead, especially when you check other, when you compare scripture and check on that other translations, please, can you move me back to the is it with me at all? Can you move me back to the handed? Praise God. Praise God. Just push my volume up a bit. All right. So he said, and lead us not into temptation. This word that was used, lead, it means that don't permit us. Don't permit us into temptation. And then when I did more critical study on this word, lead us not and don't permit us, when I check other scriptures, other translations were saying, in fact, translation like TPT, I don't know if you have TPT, but if you have YouVersion, please, I would love to check your YouVersion. You will get it now. If you have YouVersion, I want you to check your YouVersion and check the footnote. Under the footnote, you'll be able to understand. Now, please, can we read this together? Rescue us every time we face what? And set us free from, for you are the king, for you are the king who rules with power and forever. Amen. Now, look at this. There are three persons here. Give it to me in KJV. Don't worry. Don't blame God. You understand this. You will understand. You might hear. Give me, please, can we read this together? And lead us not into, but deliver us from. Now, wait. Give me NIV. I think it's KJV. We read KJV the other time. Give me NIV. Give me NIV, please. Don't worry. It's a doctrinal teaching. So you have to be going from scripture to scripture. NIV, please. This person should be a bit fast. We have a lot of scriptures we are going to read. Perfect. Thank you. Please, can we read this together? And lead us not into, but deliver us from the evil one. There are three kind of persons here. There is us. There is the evil one. And then what we saw in TPT the other time, or KJV, is said, for thy, Who is dying there? Go back to KJV, please, sir. It's just that everyone wants us to say. Who is dying in that scripture? Who is for dying is the kingdom. Who is dying there? So how many people are we seeing in this place, please? How many? Who and who? And us, yes. And who? And the evil one. So the evil one in this context is talking about who? The devil. So there are three persons that can cause casualty to a man. Three of them. But the one that is going to help us, who is going to supervise the casualty, is God. So most times when anything happens to people, they are quick to, especially when evil happens to people, they leave the evil one and focus on the one that owns the kingdom. But you will not also understand this. No, drop it. Drop it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You will not also understand this until you have checked MSG. Please give me scripture in MSG. Most glorious God, we bless your name. We lay our crown and worship. Most glorious God, we bless your name. We lay our crowns. Oh, be lifted above our Lord our God. We lay our crowns and worship you. Most glorious God, we bless your name. We lay our crowns.
We lay our crowns
and worship. So in MSG, please, can we read this together? Keep us safe from who? Wait. And that's why I say, if we have been students of the Bible, if we are as curious as some of us are, as touching this concept of scriptures, some of the things that we debate about, we won't need it. Because if we study the Bible and compare, I've often said it, there are three lines of interaction with the Word of God. The first one is that you can listen to the Word and read the Word. At that level, the highest you can get is maybe 15% of what you read. When it comes to study, you cannot study the Bible every day. One is volume, and I've often said it, you can read your Bible in 1 year. You can finish the Bible in 1 year. That is reading. You can't study your Bible fully from cover to cover in 1 year. Because why? In fact, you can use 7 months to just study. In the beginning was the Word. 7 months. If you study. Because when it comes to study, one of the things that happen is that there is comparison of scriptures. Translations. You check what KJV said. You check what NIV said. Then you consult Bible concordance. You do root check. So you are jumping from one scripture to another. Then you will not compare scripture. There is a way to compare scripture. What is said in Genesis, you go and compare what is said in Revelation. That is how to study your Bible. So most times, believers are just on the surface. One out of the three ways we interact with scripture, they just read their Bible every day as if God is marking attendance. Once they are done with the roster, they will tick it again and said, we are done with today's devotion. And yet, there is nothing in depth that they can point to. God is not a secret to be kept, but God is not on the surface. The Bible says, deep collect to the deep. So you can't just rush in. And that's why I'm shocked at the way some of you do retreat. The way you say you go and do retreat, you hear God, I am shocked. And you say God did not talk. If you are God, will you talk? That somebody came to your house very quickly.
He has never visited your house in years. And then he came and started knocking. Help Amaro. That is, help me bring the phone. Let me quickly tell you in advance. If I was the owner of the house, I will not answer. Me, I will not answer you. You have not greeted me. We don't have time to talk. We have never talked. You see me, you ignore me. I am passing, I'm greeting you. Then one day you just wake up from nowhere and say, Kemi, bo, gbe aro. Oh, aro to rasiri o lo gbe. But by you, take for instance, hope you know that there's a way you can visit people's house and the things you used to collect permission for as a stranger becomes yours by default because you are staying in the house. Take for instance, if you come to stay in our place and you are staying there for like, let's say 6 days, you don't need to collect permission from us to use the shower. But you are just walking around, you are just walking. Then you not discover that, there is it too. I need to shower. Then you not came into the house and went into the shower and started using the shower. So there are some things that come from intercourse, a continuous fellowship with God. See, some of you, listen to me. One of the things God said to say to you is that some of you for a long time, your tent of meeting has almost been turned to a shrine because the hack is not present. You have this tent. There is the tent. Hope you know what makes the tent the tent. Nobody speaks more about the tent once the Ark of Covenant has left. So some of you are dancing and worshiping the tent at the expense of the Ark. And for some of you, you will have to go and dust that shelf and bring back the Ark. Now arise, O Lord, come to your resting place, you and the heart of your might, and then we will rejoice as we clothe in your righteousness. And celebrate your love. So, in Matthew 6:13, what MSG is telling us is that keep safe from ourselves and the devil. So, the prayer Jesus was telling you to pray is not, because you see us there, he said, lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. So this scripture is not saying that for anything that happens in a man's life, there are three persons that could be involved. Number one is himself. The person himself. Number two, he can partner with the devil to inflict that thing on him. And then number three, there is a God that supervises it. The devil cannot do beyond, because in that 1 Corinthians 10:13 we read now, carry me back to 1 Corinthians 10:13 very quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, no temptation, yes, can we read it together? No temptation seize you. Who is temptation seizing? You, except what is common to who? Man. He said, and God is what? We again is, are we seeing this place? We are seeing God again. God is faithful. He will not allow you. So it means that if the Bible is saying God will not allow you, what is he saying is that there is somebody else that is in charge of the temptation that is not you. If not, if you are the one that is capable of doing it, you will have stopped the temptation yourself. Are we on the same page? If it is you that are tempting yourself, you just say, me, I've finished tempting myself. I don't want again. There is a third person that is the tempter. There is you, there is God. Is it? And God is faithful. So let me tell you, anything that happens in your life, it is God that is on your side. God does not, he can't tell.
Don't worry. The Bible says in James 1, he said, God does not tempt people. Neither can he be tempted by evil. Because there is no evil in him. Given that James 1, I think we call her time. Let's jump to verse 6.
verses very quickly. Thank you. No. Go back to that one. I like that one. Let's even stay where we are. He said, when tempted, no one should say, what is again? Are we saying no one? And again, who is coming again? God. No one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Are you seeing evil again? Every time following temptation is evil. He said, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Next verse. He said, for each one is tempted when? By his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. So, and I've often said it, you cannot be tempted once there is no desire. Temptation find its rooting in your desire. Your desire to become a Yahoo boy for Jesus. Your desire to become a Yahoo boy for Jesus. They can't trace anything to your words apart from amen. You are not doing anything, but you shout amen. That desire you have, that is why Yahoo boys are getting you. Because a Yahoo boy also came to church and said amen. So he's looking for MAGA. 10 million in your account, and hope you know, we're a prophetic ministry. We are not in any way downplaying the prophetic. But there is the dig the ditches. Yeah, there is the dig the ditches. When God is done with you, and that's why I said, it's not about what you are doing, no. It's about where the blessings stay. If you like, be packing stock away. But let us be able to, that was why they could trace something. When the devil wanted to deal with Job, there was something he could want to touch. If it was amen, they would have touched his amen. The things that were that was producing wealth for him was livestock. The devil went to touch the livestock. And the person that used to be prosperous, the blessing is still there, but he's sick. Hope you notice that the devil knew that Job can reproduce everything he took from him, because Job is not doing business because he wants to do business. He is doing business under the blessing. Immediately Job's earth was restored, the next thing that came back to him was his wealth. The guy know that, Timba people, where you left? All the, and you hope you know that in all of this, Job was all worshipping. And inclusive, why I know that Job did something was because, including his children, that, you know what happened? Job went to sleep with his wife again. Job slept with his, if not, he would have just chattered seven children. Seven children would have just answered to amen to him and come. Job slept with his wife again. The wife was pregnant for 9 months, gave birth. And then he slept with his wife again. The wife was pregnant for another. If not, children, welcome. And when children can drop, walata running, welcome land in it. But under the blessing, the children keep coming. But he slept with his wife, sir. He slept with his wife. What in context can you sleep with that will bring results? The thing you are shouting amen to. Because when the devil was speaking to Job, the devil said in Job chapter 1 verse 10, he said, you have put a hedge around him and bless the work of his hand, that his livestock is spread throughout the land. The work of his hand, there is the hand. There is the blessing sitting on it. And that blessing was what affected the livestock. And hope you know, in Job's day, they will say he used something. Please, from this scripture, did Job not use something? Laban said to Jacob, he said, by enchanters, I was able to know that the blessings I'm seeing in my life was on account of you. And my wife was reminding me that I used to preach this sermon. I said, yes. And I will still preach it this year, if God permits me, under enterprise. There were two guys, one Jacob, the other one Esau. Let me help you guys. This will bless you. In that Genesis 27, when this guy was releasing the blessing on his children, did you know that Jacob, one of the reasons why Isaac did not, from my personal study, it's not written in the Bible, but from what I saw in that Bible, is that one of the reasons why Isaac did not want to release the blessing on Jacob was because the Bible said Jacob was always staying at home. Yes. But for Esau, he said he was a skillful hunter. And I've often said it, anytime you see the word skill, there is training, there is experience, there is use. Anytime, anywhere you say the word skill, there is training. It happened in Corinthians. In Corinthians, NIV said that, I think 2 Corinthians, I can't remember precisely, maybe 13:16, I can't remember where it is. We have seen it in recent time. In Corinthians, I think 10:16 or something. Paul said that, I might not be a trained speaker. If you check NET, NET said that I might not be, I may be unskilled, unskilled speaker. He said, but not to knowledge. That is when it turns to talking. I may be talking and you'll be sleeping. No? But when it comes to knowledge, I am trained. I am skilled. Look for the word train in Corinthians. Is this person following me at all? Second Corinthians, the word train is there. Trained. And then anything unskilled. But do you know why he later released the blessing? Because in that scripture, 11:6, he said, I might not be a trained speaker. Give me NET. He said, but I do have knowledge. Give it to me NET. Can you see what NET is saying? He said, but even if I am unskilled in speaking, what it means is that anytime you use the word skill, it involves training. The OTA training is a law. OTA training. Unskilled. He said, maybe unskilled. He said, but I may be untrained. What it implies is that he cannot choose to be trained as a speaker. And he said that there are some things that he just takes training. Once I just train for it. But you are the only one that you don't want to train for anything. I want to be an expert. What is your vision for? He said, I want to be an expert in the year, whatever. Oh, wow. Opalufu. Skill require training. So Jacob, Esau was a skillful hunter. One beamer. He trained to be an hunter. So when the father wanted to release the blessing, this is what he said. And I want you to be careful about that word that was said. In Genesis 27, I think from verse 24 was where he started releasing the blessing on him. But if you give me 21, I don't know if it's 21. 25, rather. 25, 27 was where he was saying he was a skillful. Who is this person? What are we doing? He said, the boys grew, and Esau became a skillful hunter. What did he become? And a man of the open country. He did anything. He said, why Jacob was staying at home? He was staying a man. Why Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents? NIV said that he was staying at home. What is the name of this one? I think there's a translation. Is it Living Bible there about? He said he liked staying at home. He was just staying at home. In Genesis 27 now, Genesis 27, when the blessing was about to be released, not until Genesis 27, go to verse 25. It's on 25, he started releasing the blessing. But let's go to 21. Genesis 27. Perfect. Jacob brought it to him and he heard it. And next verse, very quickly. Then his father said, come here, my son, and kiss me. Next verse, very quickly. This is not even my emphasis. So he went to him and kissed him. He said, when he caught the smell of clothes, he blessed him and said, the bless of my son and all of this. But if you read 21, go back to 21 very quickly, sir. Go to 21 very quickly because of our time. 21. Then Isaac said, come near so that I can touch you, my son. Because his eyes was gone. Isaac's eyes was already going. His eyes was dim. He said, come, my son, so I can touch you, whether you really are my son, Esau. Because listen to me. The blessing does not find a landing spot once there is no hand to put it to work. Look at this. This guy was staying at home. His father knew him. That this guy know they work. He just made they stay at home. I ain't like. But look at this. Or it's also next verse. So the father already, don't forget, he said, you have blessed the work of his hand. in Esau, what is the name of this man? In Job 1:10. Are we still on the same page? We are preaching together now. What did he say? He has blessed. He said, you have blessed the work of his hand. The bless, anywhere you see the blessing, it goes with the hand. The work of your hand may have to do with the tracking of your brain. So it doesn't necessarily, it means that you are doing something, you are not just sitting at home. So the blessing, the amen you have shouted in church, without the work of your hand, something the blessing can sit on, it will end up with your old boys. The little you have, they will collect it. Because they will tell you that you just want 10 million. And true to it, the pastor said 10 million in your account this week. Those guys attended church too. They had when they say it, so they target believers. Once your name is Joshua John, say, I like this one. This one we deliver fast. Because this one, check it most times. When Yahoo boys want to deal with you, they target Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. When your hey man, the thing is having 1K leg. And then you are targeting that you are the next. And that's, listen to me guys. One of the reasons why people are ingrate is because they have so much say amen. And they want to be the next Yahoo guys that made it. They have said amen to a lot of prayer and church. And then when they say come and testify, they are waiting for when their testimony will shake the table. When I say I did not do anything. And like I was telling the workforce, I say, you see, in a nation where I found myself, if it is paying you, if the corruption is on your side, it's called favor. Okay, hope you know. You went to a place, you did not queue. You know the procedure, but your uncle is there. So you said, I was just entering. You don't understand. It was a labor market, but for me, it was favor. Savor from the Savior. Wait, let me help you. Until they twist it, you do not know any person. You are sitting there, you have sweat, you have bought all the bottled water. You have bought everything. They say, I'm angry with this nation. The other time that you are at the receiving hand, you are still okay. It was God that was doing it. This other one that God is also doing for another person that is not you. You are now angry with God. But look at this. The Bible said, he said, come. Come. Then he came to him. And the Bible says that Jacob went close to his father, Isaac. Please, who went close? Who is Jacob in this contest? The person that used to sit down at home. He said, who touched him and said, the blessing is not on the voice, it's on the hand, sir. Not until the father confirmed that the hand is the skillful hand, he did not release the blessing. He said, this voice I'm hearing is still sounding like Jacob's home. Please, look ordinary, but don't be. That people say you don't do anything. Not on your voice may be sounding like somebody that sits at home, but make sure your hand does not sit at home. He said his voice is that of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. The blessing finds resting place with hands that are skilled. Hands that are ready to walk. And not until then did they begin to communicate how the blessing will pass across. The voice is still sounding like Esau's own. It's sounding like Jacob's own. But this hand, Kai, is the hand of. And Esau, the Bible showed us, was a skillful hunter. He was always in the open country. The other guy was sitting at home, doing nothing, preparing him porridge. I think all this cooking, whatever, started since Jacob's time. He prepared porridge and snap it and put down. Because what was he doing with the porridge that Esau could come and see? He was at home. He was always happy. And that's why the two of them picked side. The one that had the blessing picked side with the one whose aunt the blessing can continue from. The mother, because the guy is always in the kitchen, helping Rebecca. That is not the main reason. The main reason, I've often said it, that the main reason why Rebecca was that meticulous was because the two children were dying, were fighting. They have not born them. Did they fight? By inquiry, she now heard that the first, the younger, will be greater than the older. And you know the irony? You see, when you are Yahweh Messiah, most times you even push yourself out of prophecy. Right from the womb, God said it, that the person that they born last will be served by the person that is older. And you know the irony? Right from inside the womb, Jacob was still making the attempt to come out first. Inside the womb. Because as soon as they born him, he was still holding his horse leg. I say, a minimum of it, that they say. He was targeting a birthright that he did not need. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I did not say that there was no consequence for the birthright. Because hope you know, if not for the prophet of in Rebecca, when it was time, this guy was still sitting at home preparing porridge. Rebecca was monitoring every time. Every time. That birthright was nonsense. That thing he collected was nonsense. But the reason why it was important was because this other guy despised it. He did not, except if the scripture is not scripture. In my understanding of the scripture, he did not need the birthright to be the greater. Because with or without the birthright, the mother was already waiting for when the blessing will be released. Even not for the mother. No. Because he was not even aware when the father wanted to release the blessing. But Rebecca, as she held on to that word. And that is why, listen to me, guys. There are plenty of prophecies that are in your direction that you have to wait for the Kairos. Jesus said, you know how to read when it will rain. He said, but you don't know timing. So let me tell you, thou says the Lord, is your this thing, is your that one, is your that one, and you lack understanding of the time, that prophecy will be there like it never exists. So Rebecca every time was watching. Say, what if? Then, do you know the irony? Well, I know that this guy, he just collected mango. When Rebecca said, go and prepare, the guy was afraid of the curse. He said, my father, he was not even thinking. He just ate something that was not necessary for him. He said, my father will have, and do you know, Rebecca knew the husband so well. It was Rebecca that make his aunt look like the hand of Esau. If it was by bad, he would have received a curse because he said it. My father will have think I'm deceiving him. He said, leave. He said, let your curse stand on me and my children. Rebecca was like, I can't say, my boy, leave curse alone. Right from when the two of you were about to be born, a prophecy went ahead of me that you younger, and that is what I'm trying to do. You don't need birthright. You are still the younger. The prophecy is on the younger, not on the firstborn. Some of the things you are trying to be, you are trying to assist God. You say, and when I finish, I say, God, by the time I'm done, I will come out and build church. God say, I'm shocked. When you have 5,000, I ask you to drop it, you do not drop it. It's not that when you have higher money, you want to shock me. Me, I'm already shocked already. Shock yourself. So the Bible said that this guy, he was saying, he was running under, he was, by prophecy, let me tell you, some of you guys, it may look like you are wasting away, but please, just follow prophetic timing.
Won't stop till we look just like him. We won't stop till we look.
Hey.
I won't stop till I look just like him. I won't stop till I look.
He said, this voice does not look like the voice that I need a blessing. The voice is sounding like that of Jacob. But the hand, and it was his mother that make his hand look like way. When he touched, he said, the voice is like that of Jacob.
The blessing is not supposed to be on Jacob. But do you know the irony? He was not the only one that the blessing was working for. Laban said, by enchanter, I heard that all the increase that is in my life is because you came. When that guy began to labor, for those of you that will not confuse it for, say we were sitting at home, my brother, when this guy was done, when this guy was done, we can't remember him cooking again. He was a chief. Don't dare na kakiri.
God,
you are the only one. Because if this thing is not true, what should have happened to Jacob is that, and he started cooking around. You know what I'm saying? He was cooking for kings. You know what I'm saying? He was cooking. This guy had to go and learn how to damalu. Oh, damalu for 7 years, sir. To marry Rachel, they gave him Leah. He said, I don't mind. I will marry Rachel. Give me another 7 years of labor. And the Bible said, when he was laboring for 7 years, that is why I said, skill have to do with training and experience. The next 7 years for him was like a few days. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible said. Like few days. So that you will not think that, say we God bless him. And when God now bless him, and that is what my brother, this guy, Damalu. Now let me strike a balance for you guys. If not that God permit for loss to happen, unbelievers will have half issue. Did you know later on, Esau was not poor because he was a skillful hunter. Jacob sent something that looked like a blessing to him. Because when he was going, he sent massive flock, massive everything to Esau. Hope you know that, because many of you did not read that story, you did not understand that story. What he lost was a lineage. He did not lose being productive. What Esau lost was a lineage. He did not become poor. He did not become poor all of a sudden. I say, Esau was poor. No. The Bible said when Jacob packed plenty sheep, plenty whatever, the guy was laughing. That amen. Sheep, kilele. He said, my brother, keep what you have for yourself and your children. I have more than enough. Yes. He said, but Esau said, I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Kilele. It was a lineage he has. Hard work pays. Hope you know that there is a way you can have money that if they give you 10 million, you'll be loving. No, I'm telling you. Like 10 million. I think I saw it on his status. He said that they just opened a branch in Lekki. That somebody came to the shop. The blessing will work for you guys. In Lekki, that somebody came to the shop and they said, select clothes. And he said, how much is my money? They said, 300K. He said, me, 300K. No, I can't buy anything less than 1 million. This guy, I said, 300K. No. Can't buy anything less than 1 million. Where? So Jacob, Esau, let's assume that Esau is an unbeliever. Let's just assume for the purpose of this teaching. Let's assume with me for a while that this guy was an unbeliever. And they both started, in fact, this guy started almost looking like he had an advantage because the blessing was upon him. There is a way we can shout all the blessing on you and you are not putting it to work. And let me help you. Hope you know that everything that this guy had, I don't know if it's Genesis 32. I think Genesis 32 verse 10 or thereabout, or verse 9. God now told, when he was meeting with God, God now told him that, okay, now, leave now. Me, I will now begin to prosper you. Huh? Yes. That was when God now said, He said, then Jacob pray, oh Lord of my father, God of my father, who has, go back to your country and your relative, and I will make you prosper. Yeah? So, he has not seen prosperity. That is why when he sent that thing to his brother was looking at killing Kilele. Kilele, he sent it. He will overnight there. Oh man, need the guinea, don't send it to me. Keep it for yourself. I have plenty. I wanted to study medicine. They gave me my physiology like they gave some of you. When they gave me that thing, all the guys that were in school with me, because you know that one of the reasons why people want to go and study medicine in school, what is the name? Katrin, you're welcome. One of the reasons why medical students or when you are in medicine is a prestigious course, quite all right. One of the reasons is because you don't need to look for work. Cheer you get. You are prestigious. You have the doctor to your badge and whatever. And then me, I was going to use 4 years in school. Why a medical student will use at least 7 years? We used to call it 6 plus X. X can be 1, can be 2, can be 3, can be 4, depending on how MB deal with you. Okay, but that's not where you're going. There's medical exam. That's where MB. They will be writing it from 200 level. And when I saw that me, I have 4 years to finish school and I have additional 3 years to myself. And then that is when the guy that me and him are supposed to be medical doctor will not finish. So that means I have an advantage of 3 years, Abi. The guy is still a student in school. And me, I will have 3 years that I will have been outside of school. And I said it to them that it will be a slap on my face. If when me I finish as a student, you now finish as a medical student, I have 3 years advantage ahead of you. Then I now send you message to send me money. I have 3 good years to work under the blessing. So I told them, I said, it will never happen. Never that you finish school and now we have to call you that, oh, you are a medical doctor. You are not me, I am the advantage here. You are also advantageous. All of us are under advantage. But I have more advantage because when I finish 3 years, I am going to have opportunity to allow the blessing for expression. You are still going to be a student. Even if you are doing business, you either pick between the business and the study or you live an average person. Two, one, we have to suffer. So I knew from when I was in school that I was under the blessing. That the blessing will work for me. Because all the years that this guy spent with Laban, he still did not have enough. The brother was telling him, I have plenty. You, I want to ask you, all the prophetic decrees that have been released in your direction, what are you doing with the blessing? Later on, you will not blame God. You, with all the amen you shouted, you are standing from an advantageous position. I thought when they meet, Esau should be licking his leg. When they met, Esau was still having plenty. Because he started with a skillful hunter. And he was working in the open country. The countries were not short for him. So when they meet, the only difference is that there is a blessing that there is a work you can do that the blessing of God can sit on. And that is why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, he says, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. That was the advantage that Jacob was having. Yeah, he was having the advantage of the blessing. But when it came to productivity, they were on the same level. And that's when you check the book of Matthew chapter 5. I think 35, thereabout. No. Yeah, 39. Matthew 5. Next verse, very quickly. Verse 40 now. Verse 40, sir. 45. Give me 45. Let me see. He said that you will be the sons of your father in heaven. He caused his son to rise where? To rise on the evil and the and send rain on the righteous and the. And what is the essence of rain? Anytime it rains, it permits for things to germinate. The Bible is saying that when God sends his rain, he does not send it for the righteous alone. He sends it both for the righteous and the unrighteous. If the righteous is sleeping and saying, I'm under the blessing, when harvest comes, he will have nothing to harvest. But in Malachi, he said, I will create a distinction between those that serve me and those that do not. The first thing in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, Malachi 3, 16, 17, 18. It was 18 that was saying that, and I will create a distinction between those that serve me and those that do not. But the first distinction is between the sons of God and those that are not sons of God. Look at that. He said, then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. His crow of remembrance was open in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. This is an advantage for the believer. I am praying for you. Every advantage you have as a believer, may you enjoy it in the name of Jesus. Next verse, very quickly, sir. Next verse, very quickly. He said, then they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasure possession, I will spare them just as a man spare his son who serves him. Take note. He's creating a distinction between people now. He now say, just as a man spare his son who serves him. Now look at verse 18. He now say, and you will again see the distinction between the who and the, and then what again? Between those who and those who wait. What this is saying is that the righteous have, they have the blessing working for them. But if they don't involve service, there will also be a difference between the righteous. Ah! That is what this scripture is saying. There is a decision between the wicked and the righteous. You are going to make heaven. That was what happened to Lazarus. You will make heaven. It happened to Lazarus. The Bible says Lazarus received his evil things. Luke 16:25. He said he received his evil things. Why are you your good things? And what were the evil things he received? He said that he was poor and sick. Look at this. He said, Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime, you receive your good things. He was rich. He said, why Lazarus had bad things? Including in heaven, they know that poverty was bad. In heaven. If not, and do you know the person that was sharing this story? Jesus. Jesus said nobody has been to heaven except him. And now he's not saying that somebody is in paradise. And he's saying, he's calling riches good things. And then, he's calling, no matter how you want to paint it, I don't want to receive bad things. If you like, use Greek word there. Me, it doesn't concern me. Bad things, bad things. And because the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 17, he said, all good and perfect gift come from the from above, from the Father of all light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So when it comes to good things, God is the one that gives good things. Bad things. So here the Bible is saying that how we create a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. But when we start that scripture in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45, what did we see in Matthew 5:45? We saw that God said, be like your father in heaven, who caused his son to shine on the what? On the evil and the bad. And caused his rain to what? To fall for the righteous and the unrighteous. Let me tell you the truth. As far as, and this law can be found in Genesis. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. Genesis 8:22. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. If an unbeliever always look for the rain that God sent to him, all the prosperity you are seeing now, mention all the richest men in the world, they are enjoying just the rain dimension. In Bible, we saw it that Jacob, Esau had more than Jacob. Except that Jacob had the blessing. Oh! Esau, he said, I have plenty. Keep what you have. Plenty. Ah, there is a joy that I have in spite of the darkness that surrounds me, and this joy that I have only comes alive every time. There is a hope
that I have, in spite of the despair that surrounds me, and this hope that I am, only come alive every time. So Jacob was the one carrying the blessing. Yet the guy we saw that was carrying plenty was Esau. Because God put a law in place that he caused his sun to shine on both the good and the evil, and causes his rain to come down for both the righteous and the unrighteous. So if all those your richest men engage the rain dimension, God will not for any reason stop increase. So if you hope you know that it's just the blessing that distinguish you in this place. It's just the blessing. As far as productivity is concerned, for the earth to produce its increase, there must be rain. And that rain, God said, I am not stopping it. For both, I am not going to be partial. I will give every person opportunity. If you can engage, God, the land will not say, this is a wicked person that sowed. No. The rain is not for you. Have you ever, if not, it will have been a lot of issue. The rain will have to be working around with the righteous. What it implies that it's only the righteous that will be able to plant anything. Others will suffer. When they now want to give their life to Christ, they will have died now. You know, that is why I love that scripture. And that's why, you see, when it comes to giving testimony, you are testifying to the witness of God. You are testifying to the faithfulness of God, just like the rain does. Acts of Apostles chapter 14, verse 17. Acts of Apostles 14, 17. He said he has not left himself without a witness. In that he caused rain. Look at this. He said he has not left himself without a testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. The essence of the rain is so that there will be crop. So what the rain is doing is that it's bearing witness to God's faithfulness. You are the only one that God did something for. You say you can't say. You feel shameful. One of the reasons why we are still remembering the rain today is because it's bearing witness. In as much as you can see rain coming down, there is a witness. And that is why the prosperity of unbelievers is a witness that God sent the rain. If not, they will also struggle. Yeah. He said, yet he left himself not without witness. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops. And he provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Thanks to the rain that bear testimony. So if a wicked man goes out and he understands this law of the rain of God, God will not stop his prosperity. But the distinguishing mark always is that the blessing of the Lord make rich and it add no sorrow. That one, it will filter sorrow. Because you know what to do when your loved one is about to die. That is where I'm about to go to now. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos 3, 7. He said, the sovereign Lord will not do anything until he has revealed it to his people, the prophets. That is, things cannot happen in your life until it has been revealed. How did I know this? It happened in 1 Samuel 3. In 1 Samuel 3, the Bible says that in those days, the word of God was scarce and there were not many revelations. In spite of how scarce the word of God became in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, how scarce the word of God became, God still had to consult somebody that they don't even know how to hear him. Samuel was just a baby. He doesn't even know how God speaks. But the Bible said the boy Samuel ministered before Eli. In those days, the words of the Lord was and visions were real. And yet, God was calling Samuel. He did not even know it was God. God had to tell Samuel what he wanted to do before it exists. Somebody that cannot hear you. (Gasps)
So most of the things you blame God for, in real sense, it's your own negligence. Because don't forget, Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, lead us not into temptation. An MSG of that Matthew 6:9 tells us, Matthew 6:13, MSG, tells us, he said, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You are in charge. You can do anything you want. You are a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes. So that leads us not into temptation. It's not in any way saying you will not be tempted. But that prayer, what that prayer is saying in real sense, looking at this scripture, and that is why I wish that TPT, the other footnote, we could say it. Looking at that scripture, what that scripture is saying is that don't allow us for a prey of the end results of temptation.
Oh.
Don't allow us for a prey of the end result of what the devil is trying to achieve. So that leads us not, is don't permit us to have the repercussion. I think there's a translation that says ordeal. I think that is TPT. I don't know, but it's the footnote actually. He said the ordeal of temptation. When you hear the word ordeal, is the negative effect of temptation. Don't allow it come on us. That was what Jesus was asking the disciples to pray. That we will not fall into temptation. It's not that you will not be tempted. Because James showed us that when you are tempted or tried, it develops something in you. Yeah. It's like the exam you have to pass. But I'm praying for you that in the name of Jesus, you won't fall a prey of the things temptation brings. I just love you to pray in the Holy Ghost very briefly. Pray in the Holy Ghost very briefly. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Lift up to him, you will arise again. For my God will come and save you. My God will
come and save you.
Lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and save you. I am praying for you. You will not yield to temptation.
Amen.
You see, and that's why I say I did a lot of study for this meeting. I just discovered one translation now in my app, in my Bible app. It's called Living Oracles New Testament. Living Oracles New Testament. If you check Luke 22 verse 40 and 46, it is LONT. That is the abbreviation in case you are able to locate that. You can download it. Living Oracles New Testament. This is what that translation said. This word is written here. He said, on reaching the place, what did Jesus do? He said to them, what should they do? Pray that you will know what? Because listen to me, some of the, why is Jesus paying more attention? Jesus was tempted. Oh, we know that the Bible told us. I think that should be Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Is it Hebrews 2:18 or thereabout? Yeah, Hebrews 2:18, I think. Yeah, give me Hebrews 2:18. I'm coming. So you can know why Jesus is talking more about temptation. Please, can you read this together with me? He said, because he himself suffered when he was any time. So when Jesus knew what he was telling you, he himself was, when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So all this, pray, this one, watch. Jesus speak more about pray, watch, whatever temptation. And when he was saying the Lord's Prayer, he put something there that people did not even pay attention to. He said, pray. So it's part of your prayer that, Father, I will not yield to temptation. I will not yield to. Jesus prayed it too. The Bible said he suffered. So he's not talking to you like somebody that does not know what he's saying. He suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who have been tempted. So that Luke 22:40 that we were reading the other time, the Bible said Jesus said unto them, say, pray so that you will not fall. So that leads us not into temptation. The real meaning of that word is what Jesus was saying in that prayer that he told us in Matthew 6:13, is that pray that you will not fall. Another word is pray that you will not yield to temptation. So that leads us not into temptation. It means that pray that you will not yield to temptation. Because you know what? Do you know what temptation does? Temptation is one. Another word for pray that you not fall into temptation is pray. That's N-O-N-T. That is living oracles. Luke 22:40. He said that pray that you will not yield to temptation. He said so that you will not give in to the ordeals of temptation. You see, you can be tempted and fall. It is not God that will bring the ordeal. The thing is automatic. So much of the things that happen in people's life is that they ignore the most important prayer Jesus has been asking them to pray. The essence of every temptation is death. That is the end result. That is what the devil is aiming at. Let me show you. James 1, very quickly. Carry me to James 1 very quickly. Are we getting blessed or blessed? James 1, very quickly. James 1 that we are reading the last time now. I think we're in verse 13 now, thereabout. All right. He said, do not... Who is this person? He said, when tempted, no one should say God is what? For God cannot be tempted by... Nor does he tempt anyone. Next verse, very quickly. He said, for each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. Desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Next verse, very quickly. He said, then, after desire has conceived, this thing he conceived, he said, it gives back to sin. So, one of the reasons why Jesus has been hammering, pray that you fall into temptation, pray that whatever, is because of this is the end result. Everything that represents death in your life, the devil cannot cause a believer to sin without temptation. And temptation is one that we conceive. This thing, don't forget. He said that, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. One thing the devil is always waiting for to hurt is that you yield to temptation. Once you yield to that temptation, please stay with James for me because of time. Once you yield to that temptation, the next thing this guy wants to do is that the temptation will not conceive. What the temptation will not conceive is called sin. And then sin too will now begin to grow gradually. So when evil happened to people, it did not happen to them the day it started. You cannot blame God, sir. When you get to heaven, if you align many things that happen to you that you are angry at God for, you cannot blame him. Because the devil cannot act. I saw it in scripture. For anything the devil did to Job, he collected permission. When he wanted to do the same, you will not say, hey, that is the New Testament. That is the, even in the New Testament, the Bible showed us in Luke 22:32. Luke 22:32, very quickly. Luke 22:32. He said, no, go to 31. 31, please. Luke. He said, Simon, what did this sister has done? He has asked for Job. He could not tell, he could not do anything to Job until he asked. There is a regulator. There is God that regulates. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He tells us that God cannot permit you to be tempted beyond all you can bear. Let me help you guys. Anything you are going through now, God measure you and thought you could undo it. Including that addition. Yes. Because that First Corinthians tells us that God always provides a way out. It's because you have not trained yourself. You have not prayed to God not to allow you yield to temptation. That masturbation. I remember those days when I used to masturbate. Ooh. What masturbation does, what the devil makes sure he does is that you cannot masturbate when every person is there. So what it does is that it isolates you. And even in that, there will be a prompting. Because after I gave my life to Christ, that was when I wanted to stop masturbation. When I had not given my life to Christ, I had not seen anything in it. But when I wanted to stop, I could not stop. Because there is always a way out. And you know, you have done something and you are telling your head, hey, I won't do it again. Hey, God, if you do it, kill me. He said, ooh, pastor inside, I won't kill you. You know that? You will deliver others from it. But I just remember now that in all of those times, God used to provide a way out. But most times, Jesus gave us the trick. He said, it is prayer you are supposed to pray. Because the spirit is willing to yield to the leading of the spirit. He said, but the flesh is weak. So why Jesus is saying, pray that we don't yield to temptation, is that you have flesh that is weak. You must pray. You must fire up things in your spirit. And that is why I said, one of the things God said to us last month, is that we should intensify, we should raise more altars of prayer. Some of you, the things that are limiting you are just temptation. It may not be sexual sin. We may not mention that thing often in church. But let me tell you, sin is anything God asks you not to do, even if it's not written in the Bible. Oh, you do not get that. Sin is anything that is peculiar to you. And while I was preparing for this meeting, God said to say to some of you, that some of you have wrecked the faith. You have listened to sermons that the peculiarities that are deal with you, the brokenness that the consecration God gave you has been watered. You are carried away with activities. I have often prayed to God, God, please, please, may I not know peace if I'm not in your way. I pray it every day. And the mistake you will make in your life for you now, you have said that you will not, there's somebody here, listen to me, this message is going to touch everyone. For you, you say you will not sleep with any person until you are married. And you make the first mistake. And then the devil convinces you that if you have done it the first one, are you going to marry a virgin anyway? Give it to them. Give it, keep giving them. Listen to me. You have made the first mistake. Don't make the second one. Don't make the second one. Hope you guys know that when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he did not tempt him to go and sin some nonsense sin. The devil, because the first time the devil tried tempting Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he tempted him the first one. He saw that Jesus brought scripture. He said, okay. The next thing the devil did, the next temptation, he makes sure that it is not without scripture. The second one, when Jesus said, "Can't turn this front to bed," Jesus said, "It is written." Mash only by bread. Okay, no problem. Let's go to it. It's written. Then he now carried Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Jump, for it is written." He knew that was Jesus' strength. He said, "Jump, for it is written." He will command his angels to give charge over you. And this is where the devil used to get most of you. You have confidence in the word of God. The spirit of God. See, listen to me. I'm saying it again. That sin is you doing anything God asks you not to do, even though it's not in the Bible. That will be sin for you. Because somebody will have to sponsor you to do it. So for Jesus here, why will it be called temptation when they were just talking? It was called temptation because Jesus will have loved to prove the word true. That is what happened to some of you. The lecturer is talk class. It happened to me. I studied in ABU. I was in ABU. I was sitting there. See, God will baptize you with sense. In the name of Jesus. I was in ABU. I was in the class. And then one of our Muslim lecturers just came on to the class. I was there. This means that I'm shouting and talking to you now. I was in that class. And the guy came. And I have taught some things in God. I am telling you. And then he came. I think he was teaching. I can't even remember. He was starting one physiology course. And I said, and there are jokers that call themselves pastors. I'm not joking. I was in the meeting. There are jokers that call themselves pastors and say that there is miracle after the bones are broken, after the clinic has broken. I hope none of you is here with that kind of belief. No, I was in the meeting. But wisdom allow me to sit down and not go out. That guy is a tempter. Some of you will have joined in the prayer for me in ABU now. I will have still been there. I will have still been in that place. I am not saying that there was a neutral confrontation. This guy is my lecturer. He's looking for who to fail. But assuming he came to me in my hostel, I say, I learned you are a pastor. That hostel, whatever, is not Bible, whatever, is not saying. I say, sorry, sir. Please, can we now also leave the classroom so that anything that happened after, all of us are still neutral. You came to meet me in my hostel, sir. Because in that place, that was his own space. That was his authority. The Bible says, respect whatever authority. But if he now comes to the church, because he's my lecturer, he now stand up. Take, for instance, he visits church. He says, I learned there's one guy I taught physiology. He's preaching. He's preaching. And maybe I'm on 300 level. He now came to the church. I will give him fireball. He will fall down that deal. He will stand up and fall down, fall down, stand up and fall down, stand up and fall down. When we get to lecture, whatever, anything he does, that is his own authority. But you left your lecture and came to church and said nonsense. You will collect. So that was what the devil was doing to Jesus. He said, this guy, who that could believe or learn that thou? Okay, and you can have this scripture. Who say no one scripture? See, Jesus. Jesus now also said to him again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That shall not put the Lord thy God to test. Olorun sun level jejeli. Won kan bo level ni pe enje me kan announce ke baba Olorun ara pe Jesus ti kan lese. Ti kilo se? He said he went to believe what the devil said. Because some of you, the reason why you are putting the blame at God is that you said Baba fagbara re han lecture yori Olorun Baba fagbara re han. And then there's another sycophant like you who was drumming. Ki gogo araye le mo. Hope you know that the contest that Daniel did not say throw me inside the lion's den and you will see that serve God. So you wake up now. You read it in the Bible. It became a revelation to you. And you saw then, I said, hey, open it. He said, why? You say, hey, me Jagaban. Or, hey, open it. Jagaban one. I am telling you on that, before you land, you will see God. I am not saying that you are faced with something and you need a miracle and God cannot come on board. But by yourself, you suspend your brain and enter into lion's den. The Bible says, even if you drink any deadly poison, they shall not harm you. That is the one you do not know. You know, he said, where is acid? He said, call us if I bring it. I want to show you that my... And then you are not saying that God fail you. Baba, you are the one that fail God. Hey, God, I don't know for people to trust God and God cannot be trusted again. In the days of our fathers, they trusted God. Even they threw Daniel inside the lions, then... They threw Daniel. They threw Daniel. You threw yourself. Another account happened in Malta, in the island of Malta. The Bible told us a man by the name Paul. The Bible said he was gathering firewoods. And then when he picked one of the firewoods, he said he was beaten by a viper. And the people he was helping said that, this guy is a wicked guy. He will soon swear and die. The Bible says, after they gave him a wife and observed that nothing happened to him, they changed their mind. Most of the miracles that happened in the Bible, these guys were not the one tempting God. You have seen a sickness you have been trusting God for the past 5 years. The thing did not work. And yet they said this is a drug that will solve it. He said, if my God cannot save me, I will die. And truly you did. Because the drug is not, they did not say that you should go and worship Ogun. Medicine is partnering with God for you to stay alive till you have the faith that you claim you have. Because all you know, I have said it before and I will say it again. Before you go and blame God, and let me quickly warn some of you that are in faith on behalf of another person. Including when you are married, we are not on the same level of faith. If you have prayed for your wife, you have prayed for her, and the temptation is increasing. And she not call you one day and say, Daddy, what? You say, yeah, I need lost hospital, bye. And I say, are you doubting my call? What it implies is that for the person to call hospital, the person have faith in the hospital. Even I will reverse car. I say, do you want the boot or front? And we'll go there because destiny is inspired by it. I cannot force my faith on you. Some of the things you blame God for, you are the one that was foolish. I remember somebody, the sister, maybe was to write an exam, and then she had faith on behalf of the sister. And he tells the sister, don't, whatever. When it backfired, the sister blame her. I don't used to have faith. Most times when I want to pray for people, I say, do you believe that if I pray for you, you will be here? You say, yes. I say, if I pray for you, you will be here. They say, yes. I say, now I'm going to pray for you. In partnership with what you say, in Jesus' name, amen. It's not me that I say I will believe. You are the one that say you will believe. If I pray, because it happened in the Bible. In Acts of Apostles 14, verse 17. Acts of Apostles 14, 17. The Bible says, Acts of Apostles 14, 11. He said, when the crowd saw what Paul had done. Let's go to this one. The thing has happened already. So they were already calling them gods. Verse 9. Acts of Apostles 14, 9. Please, can we read this together? What did he do to Paul? As he was speaking, what did Paul now do? Paul looked directly at him. And what did Paul see? And to do what? To be healed. And when that act happened, they were thinking it was Paul that did something. They did not know it was the guy's faith. Because when you get to verse 11, they say, we have never really you find that on ha! Paul, Allah Bara. You know, all manner of things. They almost wanted to turn Paul to Ebolatin Jelatokba. Paul said, Emon Kubami, Emi was anything. Is this guy that had the faith? My faith reaches out to. And I believe your word for me today. My faith reaches out to you. And I believe. Listen to me, guys. That's what you have been trusting God for. I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. Yeah. That look I can't. That look 18 that people used to quote in. The result of Luke 18 1 ended in verse 8. But it started with, and Jesus shared this parable to show that men ought always to pray and not faint. But when he get to verse 8, he said, we not the God of all the earth. Come speedily and answer them that call upon him day and night. He now stopped. He now went further. He said, but when the Son of Man come, will he find faith on earth? The whole essence of that story of pray and not faint is so that your faith will not fail. And I know what I'm saying. Because the Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 22 verse 31 that we read. He says, Simon, the devil has come to ask permission. Sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And KJV said, when you are converted, Ah, he said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. In fact, I love that living oracles. He says that, and when you are back, strengthen the faith of the brothers. Some of the things you are trying to run away from is that you have not given people opportunity to see the power of your God. But you are not the one that you are supposed to go and tempt your God. They say that whatever, your wife is already in the hospital. You have prayed. You have done everything. You claim you had the faith. If you had the faith, it should happen immediately. You had the faith. Listen to me. We are preaching faith here. But I'm also telling you that we are trying to help the people that are trying to sink. Yes. Because Jesus was walking on water. And in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus was walking on water. Babamble. And then the disciples saw him and thought he was a ghost. And out of all the disciples, one of them shouted out, Peter, Unani, Unani. He said, if you are the one, tell me to walk on water. And Jesus said, walk. The Bible said, when his focus was still focusing, he was walking. The Bible said, but when he began to see the boisterous, he know the shark. He almost had the shark. So Peter was not working on the sea like an amateur. He was working on the sea. He was like, Patolo, I'm going to say, Pari, for another Patolo money. Koda, see, Pari, unje, wake up, refa. Almost you are in the fridge. Patolo. And the narrative don't flip it. There was one boisterous sea. The Bible says when he lost sight of Jesus, when he lost sight of Jesus, the Bible says when he saw the wind, when he began to focus on the wind, do you know what happened? The Bible says he began to sink. And you know the irony, Jesus did not pray at that level. Jesus quickly stretched forth his hand. If not, Peter will have sink. Jesus quickly, and do you know the distance? I can't imagine the distance. That means Jesus would offer him. And that is why some of you, we have prayed for you 1 week, you have not been here. Is that we prevent you from sinking because you have others to strengthen. We can't allow you to die. Naturally, if Jesus was holding Peter, he will not sink. So what some of us are doing now is that we are permitting the doctors to hold you until you can walk on the water. Yes, the drip is running your hand before you go and blame God and say, but Papa, pray for me. But your faith was not in that level. I will reverse car. But the only thing is that, may I not have reason to have to drive some of you to the hospital myself. Because one of the reasons why I say you don't blame God is this. Why did you want to be in a vehicle that have accident that you are the one that did not die? When you can just say, me and accident will never meet. That is you also tempting God. Let accident happen, I can't die. My brother, don't have accident. One of my own covenant is, when I don't even want to be in an accident. It's not that I did not die. I will not be in it. Because that was what Jesus said. That you can use your mouth to configure the outcome of your temptation. Because now you say, anything that happened to me, I will serve God. The devil had his hair. Need to turn on. Okay, no problem. Baba, if you need permission. They won't have permission. Not you. The leg, one hand leg. And I say, is it our God? Is it our God? I don't deserve you. And the pastor tell you, even deceive us. And say that, how beautiful are the feet of those that... God is regulating temptation. But the devil is also regulating his. Once he knows that you yield to temptation, the next thing is that the temptation already conceived. Once you yield, there is conception. The essence of the yielding is so that it will give back to sin. Sin, when it's now fully grown, the Bible says bring death. So most of the things you blame God for, there are three persons that are involved. Your partnership on both sides will go a long way. I want you to pray. Lead me not into temptation. Father, may I not yield to temptation. May I not overcome by temptation.
I don't want to blame God. I cannot die untimely. I cannot die by accident. I don't even want to be in one. When accident is concerned, I don't want to be the one that is right. Nothing, you paid my car today. I'm the right. No! I don't want to be right as far as accident is concerned. I don't want accident. Say, Father, deliver me from terror. Holy Word, deliver me from error. In the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, have we pray. Now, this one, this is the, all of the thing I'm saying now is to bring us to this point. It's a long read. Please, permit us to read it together. Because of time, I may not be able to read 2 Kings account. 2 Samuel's account. There's an account in 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1 to the end. You can write that down. But because of time, I will not be able to read that one. I'm going to pick Chronicles. Somebody say Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 from verse 1 is a long read. It's a long read, but you will enjoy it. Please, can we read this together? David confided with each of his officers. Please, who did David confide with? With each of his officers, the commanders of the thousands and commanders of the hundreds. And this is what God to say to you. That don't allow any man, any officer, any whatever, bridged. Hey. There's somebody here. See, your tabernacle is empty of the ark. It's almost like a small shrine. The hand of God is coming on you in power. Because you are going to return from this mountain with mind-blowing results. Ah. Ola le wola sho Ogo la sho ileke Ah Eye Legun leshi. Don't worry, don't speak to me. You're just my wife. I think it's okay. You just be sensitive to the move of God. God promised me this while I was at home. But just be sensitive. He's coming. He's coming. Ola le wola sho. Ogo la sho ileke Eye Let's how I married you. The hack is going to sit again in that your tabernacle. Tabernacle in this contest being your heart. Being your heart. If you can you just pray in the Holy Ghost and let it flow out? Don't forget, I say you need to be set. These are prophetic moments that you should plunge into, especially if the word resonates with you. It's coming mightily. It's sitting upon you for a change. For a change. Pray. I give you a few moments for you to sing. For you to sing. There is a wind that is bringing restoration. Aramala kemosika. You can sit down with me.
Did they Baba wash it all for me.
Baba share a love for one.
Baba wash it all for one.
Baba share a love for one.
Baba wash it all for one.
Baba share a love for
one.
Come like a rushing wind.
I am an Akisai.
Come like never before.
Come like never before.
Come like a rushing wind.
Come like a rushing wind.
Come like never before.
Come like never before.
Come like a rushing wind.
Come like a rushing wind.
Come like never before.
Come like never before.
Come like a rushing wind.
Come like the rushing wind.
Come like never before.
Arapako sakamanaka.
Come like the rushing wind.
Like the rushing wind.
Come like never before. Come like the rushing wind.
There are meetings and there are meetings. There are some of you, you will not be able to recover from the hack sitting in your tabernacle.
Now arise, O Lord.
Please let me sit here.
Come to your resting place, you and the hand of your mind. And then we will rejoice as we clothe in your righteousness and celebrate your love. Baruch Abba, the Shepherd Adonai. Blessed is he who comes, Baruch Haba, the Shepherd of now, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Rebecca, God asked me to tell you why it is you have lost. It's coming back in exponential dimension. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, let it rest. You see, this meeting, you begin to see the stirring of God like never before. Because the actualization of prophecy is closer than before. Let it flow. Let it rest. Let it find expression. Because I saw God tie a name to that one. Ah. God. You have to go back to the first love. I don't know what that first love is. But I discovered that there have been a nudging on you for a while now to revisit that well. And therefore I caused an activation of the reopening of the wells again. The wells are digging. The wells are digging. The wells are digging. And they are flowing. River flow, river flow.
Let it river flow.
Fill your church once again. Let eternity be sent. Spirit flow.
spirit flow. Let his honor spirit flow. Be your church once again. Let eternity be saved.
Hallelujah. Don't worry. These are prophetic moments. By prophecy, there is always a wind of change. He says to one, but it's affecting her. Now, oh, there's something you feel you have lost. The wind of change is bringing it back. Especially even as touching your spirituals. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant as touching spirituals. Some of you, some wells are filled with art. God is digging them again. That's where the name Rehoboth came. He said, God has made room for us. Now we flourish. I said, flourish in your spirit. You see, your spirit is the arrowhead. Some of you have lost touch with the presence of God. But Shekinah is coming again heavily for you. Some of you, you have blamed God for too long. That is how you lost that presence. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known.
Reveal
the glory of
the risen Lord.
Just open your hearts, guys. Spirit of the
Sovereign Lord,
come and make
your presence known.
I just sense a surge of energy.
The glory,
and then I don't want to tamper with the moment. So let the weight of your glory cover. Of your river
flow. Let the truth
of your kingdom reign in us.
Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory,
can you pray in the Holy Ghost? There is a stirring of the rivers. There is a stirring of the waters. If I you, I will jump inside. There is about to be restoration of lost virtue.
Of your glory,
it will touch you too. It will touch you. There is a redistribution. There is a redistribution. If only you will position yourself.
If
I were you, I will jump inside the river. I will jump inside the river. There is a stirring of the waters again.
Let the weight of your glory.
I see God restoring virtues, lost virtues. Make sure your heart is not wandering around. You are not looking for your neighbor. If I were you, I will jump inside. I will jump inside and have a drink. He's coming strongly. A change, the wind of change is here. The wind of change is here. Jumping. Oh, Rabakosa Paramakosika. Jump.
Jump in a habit drink. Jump in a habit drink. Jump in a habit drink. There is a stirring of the rivers. There is a stirring of the rivers. The restoration of lost virtues. I am an
sense it. The King of glory is in. Oh, yeah, come on. To this, but very quickly, I want to give some prophetic word that God asked me to give for someone. He said, it is the season of the blessing. The next few months of your life, the blessing is coming for you and your household and everything you have. Now, this is the instruction. God said, make room for the ark. The ark in this context, the presence of God. Make room for the ark in your home. I am praying for you. May you not yield to temptation. In the name of Jesus, you will not be overcome by temptation. Why, for someone, God said to say to you, you need to go back and clean your tabernacle, which is your heart. And again, prepare for the ark. The presence of God yet again. In that chronicle I wanted to read, time will not permit us, but you can read it because of the next time. 1 Chronicles 13 is a long read, one to the end. And then 1 Chronicles 15. It was in 1 Chronicles 15. They said we were a mistake. Somebody just died. And that's what, listen to me, please. If anything happened in your life, please don't continue like it's business as usual. Ask question. Somebody just died. The Bible said even David was angry with God. God was angry that somebody touched the ark in a way it's not supposed to be touched. And David too was angry with God. But in 1 Chronicles 15 verse 13, the Bible said that they said that now we have known our error. That is, see, God is a God of standard. He does not shift because of you. These guys, they were happy that they wanted to carry ark. Yet, somebody died for it. David was angry, but later on, he rejoiced going back. I'm praying for you that in the name of Jesus, everything you need to do, not to pass the blame on God. You see, things that will happen in your life, that the only person you are going to blame is God. May they not happen in your life. May God deliver you from the evil one. May God deliver you from the ordeal that temptation brings. In the name of Jesus. It is done, though. It is settled. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
We trust that today's message has enriched and empowered your journey towards balanced living. For more insightful and uplifting sermons, follow us on all social media platforms at Inside Missions and The James Global. Stay blessed and empowered.